This past, let's see, when was it, March, I had the opportunity to join the senior class of our academy for a day or so, and we went to the Museum of the Bible. That's very interesting, by the way, and certainly worth seeing. And we had a good time there, and I wanted to make sure that they got to go in this experience that had you flying over Washington, D.C., and seeing all of the key places in D.C. But I got to thinking about it. It's really amazing. We pay money to deceive ourselves, to be deceived, because all you do is sit in a room the whole time. That's all you do. But your mind begins to think you really are flying. And this was the latest state of the art, and I mean the seats move forward and around and vibrated, and you had moisture coming, and you know, all. I mean, they warned you, if you have a weak stomach at all, it's not a good place to be. And of course, all of the different, the filming of it and so forth, and literally in the middle of it, even though you know you're in a room, you're flying over Washington, D.C. But it's all an illusion. You are sitting in a room in the Museum of the Bible, and yet we paid all this money to be deceived. Well, this is exactly what Satan does. And that's what I want us to look at here tonight. Now, what we've been looking at, the tremendous truths that Dr. Jim gave in the opening New Life meetings, and now we've been looking for 2 weeks in Romans chapters 5 and 6, and we're going through chapter 8 on the facts of what our identification, with Christ really means. And that's reality. That's what is true. And yet, we need this series on Sunday night about the deceptions and illusion of Satan because he wants you to get off of the truth. Remember what Dr. Jim said, strongholds are bricks of wrong thinking that cause us to get locked into wrong behavior. And those bricks of wrong thinking have to be removed and replaced by biblical truth. In other words, deception, delusion needs to be pulled out and truth needs to be put in. But we've got to understand that Satan is the master deceiver. Do you remember that Dr. Jim said that Christians often live with dual streams? You live with a lot of truth that is affecting your life, but at the same time, you can have some areas of deception that are holding down the blessing, holding down the victory, keeping you from being effective, and until that deception is removed, you're not going to have the fullness of God's blessing in your life. So I want to tonight and then next Sunday night lay down the foundation about the world and Satan's involvement in it, and then we'll start working our way through some of the specific areas of deception that he's involved in. Now, we use the term world, and people sometimes get mixed up with that. You'll find that throughout the New Testament, and there are four different main words that are used that are translated world, and I'm not going to go through the details of those. There's the one word that just simply means the earth, and the inhabited earth, that's used 16 times, and then there's one that speaks of the ground, arable land as opposed to sea or water, that's used 223 times in the New Testament. And then there's the two more words that refer to the world as we will be defining it tonight. The word that we transliterate into eon, age, is what it means. A perpetuity of time, an unbroken age, a period of time. It's used 97 times in the New Testament. And it is often used with the period of time of this age and the corresponding evil work of Satan within this age. So it's very close to the idea of the last word we're going to look at that we're mainly familiar with, that's cosmos, but it has the idea of the characteristics of the time period in which it's talking about. So when we talk about this age or this world, we're talking about that that goes along with. A good verse on that would be Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So the this age is in correspondence with the cares of what this life brings and the deceitfulness of riches. So there's a good example of the word used that way. Or Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world or age. That's the word age. And so I think what Ritterboss, who's one of the top scholars on this book, says, this world, which really means world period, is a world qualified by sin. The devil is its god. Now, when we talk about Satan's role with the world, one verse that we often mention is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the god of this world. That's not cosmos, that's ion or eon, age, and so that's another term. That's used 97 times in the New Testament. Then there's the one that we're most familiar with, and that's the word cosmos. And it has the idea of the orderly arrangement of, and this really gives us a good picture because it has the idea of the orderly arrangement of what Satan has done in his deceitfulness. And so this is used 151 times in the New Testament. Our verses that we often use about not loving the world in 1 John chapter 2, that's the word cosmos. Love not the cosmos, neither the things that are in the cosmos. And very strong, if any man love the cosmos, the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And as one commentator said, the world translates cosmos, the opposite of chaos, from which we get the word chaos, and speaks of an ordered system. Our word cosmetic, derived from cosmos, has the basic meaning of covering up disorder. The commentator said that, not me. Just want to make that clear. With something that brings order. So, in the New Testament, cosmos refers to the order of the evil world system ruled by Satan and his agents. So that's the one that we often think of, but both of the last two words are between the two of them. They're used 200 times in the New Testament. One more just comment on this. D. Edmund Hebert, who is also a tremendous scholar on this, comments on James 4:4, the use of the word cosmos. The world here does not refer to material creation, but rather to the mass of unredeemed humanity as an egocentric world system that is hostile to God. Its central aim is self-enjoyment, self-aggrandizement, in disregard of or in open hostility toward God. So, just clearing that up, we have a lot of occasion in the New Testament to have the word world or age clearly referring to the world system that Satan is affecting. So let's look at the biblical perspective on Satan's control of the world to get us off the ground of faith, to get us off of the facts, the reality, what's genuinely going on, what is genuinely spiritual, what does matter for us as believers, and get us to thinking things and therefore acting upon things that are not true. And that's happening to believers all the time. There's all kinds of deceptions. If ever there was an age of deception, it probably would be right now for evangelical believers. All right, let me go over some basics. I've gone over this before, but I think it's very important for us to think this through. The fall of man had a great impact upon man, obviously. We went from relationship to God to being cut off from God, being spiritually dead. Now, man was made in God's image, Genesis 1:27, and the purpose of that is so that in our whole makeup, in our spirit, we were able to have a genuine, full relationship with God, a free will, emotions, a personhood, personality, in which we were actually able to interact in a personal way with God. Isn't that an amazing thing? I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm anything but godlike, you know, as far as when you think of the greatness of God. But we are made in the image of God. And God has created us for Him. It's just one of those glorious truths. But because of the fall, man lost that oneness with God, and we became independent of God, totally opposed to why we were created. When you talk about a lost creation, it is a lost creation. Now, Ian Thomas talks about the fact that animals are created with a soul, not an eternal spirit, but they have to differing degrees, you know, from mosquitoes, which have a very nasty disposition, monkeys that I'm sure I've seen some of them before, or, you know, in our school or something. But anyway, seem familiar. Have you ever gone to the zoo and seen the faces of the monkeys? And that, you know, that looks just like my brother. No, I mean, that. I've seen that look before. So, I mean, you think, no. I know we didn't evolve from an ape, but I'm telling you, I've seen some people just like that. Okay, I do not believe in evolution, so don't worry about that. But I've had my doubts at moments when I've seen certain aspects of baboons. I'm telling you, they are something else to see. They're gross, but they're something else to see. But again, I've seen gross people, you know, so I guess it goes together. But animals, one degree or the other, they think, react, decide. I think we impose too much on them. You know, we think our dogs love us. Are you kidding? You know. They are still getting what they want from us, you know. No, you say, now listen, you don't know my dog. My dog has great devotion to me. Well, anyway, you can read the books about it. They have responses to their masters. But God built into animals something that man does not have. It's a mechanism called instinct. It is an unbelievable mechanism to look at the different species and see how they're able to operate and know exactly what to do without training. They are able to function, build their birds, build their nest, or other kinds of animals to be able to bear their young and exactly what to do. It's incredible. It's very complicated many times. I always marvel at the migratory systems of birds, how they'll come back to the very rock in an isolated island, then they go thousands of miles away, and at the perfect time on the exact day they come back. And it's just like clockwork. Well, that's, by the way, God's marvel. I don't know how you can think that that just happened. It's just an amazing thing. But that's the way God protects and governs the behavior of His creation, from the simplest cells, cellular beings, all the way to the most complicated. But did you know man doesn't have it? We don't have instinct compared to animals. You see, as instinct is absolutely indispensable to the animal world, or the, you know, the non-human world, so is the Holy Spirit to us. You see, God made us for Him. Can I say this in a reverential way? God is our instinct. God is everything to us. He uniquely made us to be governed by Himself. He was in union with Adam and Eve, and now once we're saved, we are in union with the Holy Spirit within us, and we have the guidance, the direction, the empowerment everything that we need, the revelation to be able to operate as God intended the human race to operate. And so that's what we desperately need. But the lost human being, before they're saved, they don't have that. Every person needs a God. Every person needs guidance. Every person needs a sense of belonging, fellowship. And so Satan becomes the spiritual substitute for God. Satan is the god of this world. He leads man into a destructive and independent life. He teaches man the wrong way to have relationships, the wrong purposes in life. He meets the need of their hearts with the wrong music. You see, God, music is part of our relationship to God. It'll be filling the heavens when we get there. And so he has the substitute music for man that's flesh and emotionally centered. The gods of this world, why do you have in every culture gods? Because people have to have gods. And so Satan creates gods, creates spirit worship, demonic worship even, because man is helpless without God. Man does not have instinct. He must have supernatural direction. So Satan is the one that takes that place. Now, parents, let me just say this. God's solution for this problem, because little babies are helpless, is parents. And if parents will walk with God and have the direction of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, parents are able to stand up against Satan by bringing children into submitting their will to authority and then to God, bringing them in as soon as possible by the grace of God into a relationship with the Lord through the new birth, and then cultivating a dependence upon God so that that child does not learn the deceitfulness of Satan and does not allow Satan to be their God. You see, parents who are not strong in discipline, are not strong in teaching, even though they're saved, are weak in coming to church, inevitably, unless the child is mentored by someone else, that child will become extremely worldly by the time they're a teenager, because they have to follow something. So if we are negligent, Satan will be right there and he'll take over. So that's why, folks, as parents, do not let Satan, through technology, parent your child. Do not let him be their God. They've got to have a God somewhere. You've got to nurture them through careful bringing, rearing, and by your own walk with God. They've got to know and love the presence of God early on so that they're ready to trust the Lord for their lives. Well, that's a whole message in itself. So Satan becomes the spiritual substitute for God. Now, at the fall, something also very sad happened. Remember, before the fall, who was given dominion over the earth? Man. But how did mankind have a dominion over the earth? He had it through the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when mankind became estranged from God, Satan then came in and took over the authority of mankind. You remember when you had the temptation in the wilderness of the Lord, that Jesus was taken to the high mountain by Satan himself, and he said, if you will bow down to me, I will give you authority over all of these kingdoms. Did Jesus question his right to do that? No. But he would not bow down to him, because you can only worship the Lord thy God. And in the human realm, Jesus won the authority and will ultimately rule through the cross. But you see, the lost world, Satan became the authority and usurped that from mankind. That's why Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." And so we've got to understand, folks, this matter about the world is not a small matter. It's everything about our problem in our sinful condition, Satan's power, what has happened. And so we've got to understand that as believers, these issues are very real to us. You say, well, I am now saved. I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. You can now have fellowship with God. You can have His direction. You can have His love. You can have the relationship. You can have all the knowledge you need. God has revealed His heart to you in His word. You've got all that you need. But we still have the flesh that we can have victory over. But if we're not careful, the moment we're not right with God, do you think the pull of the world can still be there? You see, we decide every day who's going to be our God today. Either God will be God, or, though we don't think of it this way, when we willfully are not right with God, don't spend time with Him, are independent from the Lord, Satan begins to deceive again. That's where the strongholds come from. And he begins to cause us to think improperly. And he uses the world system to lead us the wrong way. Do Christians ever get led the wrong way? Do Christians ever make disastrous decisions? All the time. So Satan constantly wants to take back the role he had before you were saved. But you don't have to give it to him. See, all that we talked about this morning, you were identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. You have newness of life. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you. You're a new man. You do not have to give any credence to his leadership. But if we allow ourselves to resist him, then Satan will step right back in to take over our lives. Folks, it grieves me as a pastor to see people argue about how worldly you can be. It really is. You might as well just say, how much Satan's control can I get away with? May I submit to you, you can't get away with any of it. We need God. I tell you, if we really love the Lord, we want to stay as far away from Satan's deceptions as possible and as close to our wonderful Savior as we possibly can, because he's provided the way to have fullness of life if we would trust him. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know, I don't have to fear the world tomorrow if I'm right with God. A writer said, the life of a person apart from Jesus Christ is the life of the victim of the system, the world system controlled by Satan. It is a meaningless life, a life with no hopeful plan, purpose, or reason for being. It is also a life ruled by the flesh, which naturally and inevitably follows the system of evil promoted by the world, whether in gross immorality or simply in day-to-day gratification. So folks, our culture, American culture, that's where we live, even if you're from other backgrounds, you're in American culture. Our culture is not neutral. There are neutral aspects of it. But we need to be very discerning about the fact that much of any culture is satanically organized to keep us away from spiritual reality and from the facts of the Word of God. We are strangers and pilgrims. We're sojourners in this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we have to keep that in mind. But you know, today Christians just don't want to be seen as too different from this world. But listen, the world's culture has degenerated from a Judeo-Christian, at least somewhat decent culture to a very clear post-Christian and neo-pagan culture. And so we have to understand that the world is not neutral. All of you ladies and men going into missions, keep that in mind. Just because it's Hungarian doesn't mean that it's okay, right? Has Satan manipulated Hungarian culture? Big time. European culture? Big time. Hungary's a tad better than most of Hungary, of Europe, but just a tad, okay? Or I could point out any culture here. I could, if Aquila had been here from Ghana, I could say, has Satan manipulated Ghanaian culture? And he would say, absolutely. Lonzo, his Hispanic culture, neutral? No, it's destroying people's lives, even though there's some neat things about it, right? And on we could go. So you got to wake up to that. It's this idea that you go to the field and just because it's part of that culture, it's okay. No, you better be as discerning as you are with American culture. Well, before I finish here today, let me just show you some of the things that Satan does in culture, just to give you an idea of his deceptions. The first area would be religion and philosophy. That makes sense, because that's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are come into the world. So Satan loves to pervert truth about God. Folks, we're not even talking about major religions. We're talking about even corruptions of evangelical teaching at times. He is constantly wanting to get us to depend upon ourselves and to think humanly and not to have faith and not to believe every bit of the Word of God. You remember when Peter rebuked the Lord and said, not so, Lord, when the Lord Jesus clearly said he was going to go and die for us, which of course was key, and he doesn't rebuke Peter. Who does he rebuke? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I hate to say it, everybody here at some point or the other has done or said something that Satan has caused you to do. And we've got to be very careful that we're accurate. Satan imitates spiritual reality by giving false religious experiences, the mystical pagan experiences. They're very real. You know, people go into some of these temples and they just seem so weird to you, but demonic presence is there, and there is the supernatural. Even among liturgical Christianity, people will go in and go through all of the liturgy and all, and they come out having had an experience. Don't think it's all in the mind. By the way, you go into a cathedral or you go into a Hindu temple and you're going to see a lot of the same things. Satan has a lot of the same methods that he uses. And there is in genuine Christian experience, what he will try to do is substitute genuine spirituality through manipulated emotions. And of course, the music of our day, you have the charismatic experience, that perversion, getting the focus being on man and the ecstatic experiences that they have. He is just a master at getting people off of genuine truth. And so we have to understand that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, right there at the beginning, he deals with the fact that you're doing exactly what you did with the pagan world that you were in and calling it Christian. And a lot, I could get into that. I've taught on that, and it's very, very interesting. And so we need to realize. Now, let me say this. One of the dangers as you start to grow in the Lord is you really get stirred about praying. You really begin to walk with God, and God reveals His presence to you, and you're getting, you really understand more and more what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And a person who becomes more and more sensitive spiritually in the early part of their journey can easily be deceived by Satan's counterfeit. And I've seen people get into fasting and prayer without biblical teaching or with a very self-perspective, and find themselves being deceived. Well, God told me this and God told me that. No, he couldn't have, because that's not biblical. Or that is very subjective and that doesn't ring right. And you've got to watch that. And that's something that you have to be very careful with. Everything that God tells you will be in accordance with the Word of God. And it will also fit with counsel with other godly, spirit-led Christians. All of us have to be very careful. Now, will God lead you subjectively? Absolutely. Will he have a personal relationship with you? Absolutely. But walk so closely to God that you can see the deception that Satan can give. A lot can be said there. Satan encourages dependence on the intellect. You know, you can worship your mind and logic. A lot of Christians worship at the shrine of "it makes sense to me," some new thing. That's what the old Greek philosophies was about. And that's what all these present day philosophies are. You ever talk to a secular humanist and you say, how can they believe that? They really get convinced because Satan's powerful. But God's more powerful if you'll be faithful in witnessing to them and give them the truth. And so what happens is you find today worshiping a force rather than God. You know, I'm thankful when people believe in intellectual design, but folks, that's not necessarily Bible Christianity. That's just the acknowledgement of an intellectual design, but still it's just a force. That's why, let me say this, it's very important, folks. I would not watch the science fiction type movies that present a force or other godlike, you know, you have your Star Wars and all the other types of things like that. I will not watch those. I wouldn't anyway because of all of the background and the stuff in it. But that's paganism. The superheroes is paganism. Satan. Folks, no matter how high you jump, you're not going to be Superman. Sorry about that. And if you are, you are really demonically controlled, brother. Levitation, and that won't be a pretty thing. But we've got to be very careful about that. All right, I got to move on quickly. Culture and society, I've already gotten into that, but let's just talk about that for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's what we've been talking about. Before we're saved, we're dead spiritually. But we are quickened, we are made alive. "We're in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now notice this. Among whom also, if talking about the world, "we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So the culture, Satan is constantly manipulating it to keep us away from pure truth, dependence upon God, and right thinking. He has great authority in the arena of mankind and the world system. He manipulates culture, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You could just spend quite a bit of time talking about how he causes us to want things and to be overpowered by how we feel, or to be living life for self-exaltation. 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or in the wicked one. Now, we could just go right down the list, and we'll be going down the list. Do you think the way he's constructing families today is at all hurting people? The whole redefinition of family? The area of the arts, what he's done to music, what he's done to visual arts, dramatic arts? All of those things have brought a total wrong worldview into people's minds. the media. We could just spend hours on that, which we will be talking about that. We're in the grip of the evil one, materialism, and all of the enjoyments of life, fashion, and how we present ourselves. Remember, paganism always unclothes itself. Christianity clothes itself because we stand before a holy God and we want to be holy and moral. On and on we could go. Do you think Satan at all has had a part in our culture that way? Well, obviously so. Government's one that we often don't think about. I talked about him being over the kingdoms of the world. Remember in Daniel chapter 10, the prince of Persia, that the battle that Gabriel had, Michael had to come, and the fact that there was another demon over Greece. Hate to tell you, but there's a top demon, maybe Lucifer himself, over America. Pray for the president of the United States. Pray for your governor. Pray for others in places of authority. That's not a small matter. I do that every day by name. It is important. So he is called the prince of the world. And there's much that could be said there. The prince of the world will be judged and so forth. Government that causes people to look to it as their God to meet their needs is very much satanic. This is not a political lecture, but do you think socialism might fit into that? Look at poor Africa. Just the socialism that just ravages those countries, that somehow by worshiping their leaders, they're going to have all their needs met. And, you know, they live in poverty, and it's just a tragedy. You go, for instance, to China, all over the place is the premier's photograph. You have to worship him, worship the system of communism. That's satanic to the core. And we got to be careful here in America. Have you noticed the passion for the last presidential election for the one Democratic candidate that was very socialistic, and all of the young people going after that, and now that's becoming a big thing in this last coming up midterm election. It's going to be a big deal. I'm telling you, within one or two presidential cycles, we're going to be having a full-blown socialist as one of the major candidates, and it will be a worship of that. Government can give, this is what Satan does, a godless view of life and promote wicked lifestyles. Baal worship was nothing but an excuse for immorality, and governments would promote that, and you could go right down the line. Or you have the French Revolution that just destroyed so many with its atheistic doctrine, communism, and we're all aware of that. Governments often oppose true faith and impose official religion, like Bethel and Dan for the Northern Kingdom. Hebrew children were supposed to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Roman government persecuted Christians because they would not worship the emperor. You had the Holy Roman Empire. You better worship toward Rome during those days, or you would be in trouble. So Satan has used governments all the time, and he has used governments to stamp out moves of God. You had the great revivals of 1904 to 1910, and what came right after that? World War I. Ryan just went to Australia under Fletcher and Tory and others. There was a mighty move of God, and young men by the tens of thousands committed their life to ministry, and they were the first group shipped off to Europe, and the Aussies lost about all their young men in the first round. That's satanic. Were the revivals under James Stewart in Eastern Europe. Well, unbelievable. Entire cities in Eastern Europe came to know the Lord. And then you had World War II. Hitler on one side, Stalin on the other, and if you've ever read the atrocities in Poland and right down the line, those poor countries just were wiped out. You think about the wars that China's gone through after the Great Missions Movement. Why do you think there was a war in Korea that we have North and South Korea? Because you had one of the greatest revivals in the history of Christianity that occurred in North Korea. Vietnam was having a mighty move of God. Remember with Brother Shelton here telling us of being in the middle of that revival, Vietnam War. Cambodia was beginning to have a move of God, and then you had the Khmer Rouge. On and on I could go. I really believe the history of war is a history of Satan stamping out the work of God. And so, by the way, ever heard of the Civil War? Guess what happened right before that? The Great Prayer Revival, Third Great Awakening. A lot of young men committed to the Lord died. Let me tell you, Satan is a murderer. He is wicked. It's just unbelievable how ruthless he is for his own cause. Now, I'm just going to finish here. We've looked at the world, how Satan uses the world to be his means to meet the needs of mankind because he's cut off from God, and so it's a substitute way to have purpose, approval, meaning, direction, enjoyment. So the world is Satan's tool to meet the needs that God wants to meet. And we understand that with a person who's dead in trespasses and sins, but it is a terrible thing when a Christian allows that to happen. Written to Christians, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And I just want to say, folks, as we look at these next weeks, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we must understand that Satan is going to do everything he can to take away truth from Romans 6. That sin doesn't have to have dominion over you anymore. He's going to do everything he can to get you mixed up about what God can do in your life and what the purpose is and what it means to have the presence of God in your life and to believe that God can do mighty things. He will do everything he can to try to undo that. But he can't if we're walking with the Lord and we're immersed in the Word of God. But the problem is, folks, we make choices to trust the world in certain areas over what we know is right. That's why our theme is breakthrough, pursuing his presence. What's the second part? Obeying his promptings. And we don't, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But Christians, being worldly is not some little side issue. It is saying no to Satan undermining God's working in my life. It is saying no to the destruction of faith in my life. And though I live in this world, I'm part of this culture, I will not, by the grace of God, allow Satan's devices to deceive me and put me in an artificial world when God wants me to live in a real relationship and purpose in my life. So I trust by the time we finish this, it'll go deep within your soul about Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. We don't have to be. We don't have to be pulled by the world. And we've got to learn to be satisfied by that which really satisfies, and that's the Lord Jesus. Love, not the world. Let's bow for prayer. It's been a teaching message here, but God may have touched your heart. You know, it's very easy to think that, well, you know, if I can walk with God periodically, I'm okay. You know, if I have a good time, devotions and so forth. But, you know, I go into neutral, I sort of lay back sometimes. Well, folks, that's the danger. There is a world system out there. Satan is a roaring lion doing what he can to deceive. He is trying to devour us. And we must not be ignorant of his devices. And you might say, you know, Pastor, I see some things that I resist the Lord and fully surrendering to him, fully accepting what he said. I realize that maybe I just get into neutral. I'm not really walking in a close relationship to the Lord. I excuse or rationalize things, and I realize what a danger that is. And Satan's ready to come in and deceive me. and to put up strongholds in my life. And by God's grace, I don't want to live that way. And maybe the Lord touched your heart about some areas that you've, not even about the world, but just carelessness in your life of not walking with God 24/7 and being dead serious about serving Him. And you'd say, God has touched my heart that way, and I realize this is a serious matter. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, if God touched your heart, I think it'd be good to indicate that. Even though this was teaching, it is just important to really understand that. God bless you, a number of folks here. Anyone else? I just need to be wise. God bless you. And I really do not want to go in the neutral. I don't want to lay back in my Christian life and to be vulnerable to the deceptions that Satan gives. Maybe you're here today and Satan's got you. If you were to die, you don't know for sure that you'd be in heaven. Have you fallen for religion versus faith in Christ? Have you fallen for maybe your own thinking versus God's thinking? Maybe God brought you here tonight because you don't have a full relationship with Him. You know about Him, and maybe you believe in Christ, but have you ever trusted Him and asked Him to save you? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. If I were to die, I don't know what would happen. And as I hear this, I realize I need to settle this. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you just slip your hand up? We'll pray for you along with these others. Anyone like that, just slip up your hand. God brought you here tonight. We want to be a help to you. Anyone at all? Lord, work in hearts. Lord, help us to be discerning, to wake up to this. I pray for these dear folks that are burdened, that they don't allow themselves to be deceived. I pray you'll honor their burden. And Lord, would we be wise people that live according to truth, not live according to illusion. Oh, God, help us, deliver us, I pray. For any that are here that aren't saved, Lord, bring them to yourself, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.